Maybe they think Mara is here.
No, they are allowed to tell them.
I'll tell them. Yeah. They probably don't know.
No, no, I told them. Most of them know.
Those two kids? Those two kids?
Stop at 8:30,
so let's get started. I want to start by wishing everyone a Gemar. Gemar Chatima Tova. I want to thank Ari for organizing the shiur and to everyone for coming. The shiur will be in two parts. Part number one will be an attempt to analyze the psukim in the Parsha of Tshuva. The Parsha of Tshuva is in Parshas Nitzavim. So, Bli Neder, what we're going to do is we're going to read through the psukim. And we're going to try to analyze them and ask a number of questions. That's going to be part one. Hopefully we'll come back at the end of the shiur to answer those questions. That's my hope. And we'll jump over to the Rambam, because he can't talk about tshuva without the Rambam, and ask a few questions on the Rambam, and then we'll try to put it all together. Parshas Nitzavim begins in the 30th chapter, Perek Lamed, of Sefer Dvarim. And if we read the Psukim and we get a feel for the structure of this Parsha, what I think we'll see is that the Parsha could be divided up into three parts, three segments. The first segment will take us all the way till, but not including, Pasuk Vav. The second segment will take us from Pasuk Zion until Pasuk Yud. And right in the middle, sort of cutting it down into two, is Pasuk Vav. So let's see if I can convince you of my thesis. The first five psukim up to Pasuk Vav deal with a prophecy in which the Almighty is guaranteeing us that there will be what we call Achris HaYomim, the end of days, the Mos HaMashiach, the Geula Asida, and it'll come about when the people of Israel will do tshuva. So if we focus, for example, on Pasuk Beis, Vishavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, emphasize the word Ad, there will be a movement of tshuva in which we will come ad the ad b'chal. The Gemara tells us that ad means we'll reach the kisei hakavod. It'll be the ultimate, ideal, complete tshuva. And in that tshuva, v'shamata b'kolo kechol asher anochi mitzavcha yom. Again, let's emphasize the word kechol. It will be a tshuva that's all-encompassing and will include an absolute commitment to the totality of the mitzvos. And that's going to happen and bring about the ultimate geula. And here we jump to Pasuk Gimel. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvuscha V'richamecha V'shav V'kibetzcha Mikol Amim. And God will bring the ingathering of the exiles. And people will come Nidachacha in Pasuk Dal Mikzeya Shamayim, from the end of the globe. For those of us who remember the Soviet Union, Oliver Shalom, it would be hard to believe that Jews in the Soviet Union, who were subjected to communism for 70 years and denied any sort of Jewish education, that they would be Chozer B'tshuva. Who could believe such a thing? Who could imagine such a thing? And even today, when we look at the world, the globe, when we look at the situation of the Jewish communities across the world, across the earth, we question, is it possible that the Jewish people will come to do this complete tshuva But yet Hashem here in Yitzhovim promises us. We don't know exactly how it's going to come about. Will it be some sort of tsunami? Will it be a chas v'shalom, a nuclear war? Will it be a COVID of some sort? What will bring the Jewish people to tshuva, to this ultimate level of Ad Hashem Elokecha, of Kisei HaKovod? And I don't believe that there's anyone, no matter how great he or she may be, who could predict and tell us when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's going to come about. We don't know how, but it's going to come about. And that's going to be the ingathering of the exiles from Ktzei HaAretz, from the most extreme locations on the face of the globe. And the Torah goes on to tell us, Ve'viacha Hashem Elokecha, and at that point, God will bring us to the land that He has promised our forefathers. He will bring us to the land at the point of Kibbutz Golios. We will destroy our enemies, and we will exist as a result of this process of tshuva in an idyllic state of Achris Hayomim of Yemos HaMashiach. That's the first part of this, shall we say, parsha of tshuva. Let me skip for a moment over Pasuk Vav and get down to the real question that I have for you today. Starting with Pasuk Ches, going on to Pasuk Tes, and Pasuk Yud, I call it Roman numeral number 2, another section of this parsha of tshuva. And if we read these psukim carefully, they seem awfully repetitive, almost redundant. Once again, in Pasuk Ches, the Torah repeats, V'ata tashuv, v'shamata b'kol Hashem, v'yasises kol mitzvoso v'asher anochi mitzavcha yom. God again repeats that there will be tshuva on all the mitzvahs of Hashem. And in Pasuk Yud, once again, Ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha lishmar mitzosav v'chukosav, etc., etc. This seems to be what in modern Hebrew we call kfelut, repetitive. We've just presented in what I call Roman numeral number 1, the first section, the promise of tshuva v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kol kechol asher tzivcha. Why does the Torah repeat what seems to be totally redundant, and again tell us with ata toshuv that we're going to do tshuva and ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha? It seems that the parsha is divided up into section number 1 of tshuva and then another section of tshuva. But the rational mind begs to understand why a second section of tshuva, which doesn't seem to add anything to the first. It's almost like you have Roman numeral number 1, you've got Roman numeral number 2, and each is a mirror image, repeating what we had in the first and the second and the first. Why? Our belief in the Torah is that the Torah is very stingy on ink. Not only psukim are not redundant, even words and even letters in the Torah are never there for naught. They always have to teach us something. And in this particular section, a parsha that's made up of 10 psukim, it would seem to baffle our mind why the Torah repeats itself. Perhaps the key lies in the pasuk which splits and divides, it's what I call the chatzitza, and divides the first and the second section. And the Torah promises in pasuk Vav, Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha li'avas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha leman chayecha. To summarize this pasuk in one phrase, there's what's called milas halev. Now we know what mila is all about, but this is a different kind of a mila. This is a mila of the lev. And the Ramban, in his commentary on this pasuk, tells us that there's something called Arlas HaLev. Just like there's an Arla, there's also an Arla that surrounds the Lev. And the Ramban goes into great detail to describe what is this Orlas Halev, which the Almighty promises He will remove at the time when we come back and we do tshuva, when all of Klal Yisrael, all over the globe, will return to Hashem with a complete commitment to all His mitzvos. There will be a Milas Halev, a removal of Orlas Halev. And the Ramban says something amazing. Orlas Halev, which is going to be removed by Hashem at the end of time, is that part of the human being that represents, metaphorically, the Yetzer Hara, the inclination, the pull towards evil. The Orlas Halev manifests itself in Chemda, in an insatiable desire to amass wealth. Yeshlo Mana wrote to Messiah, he has 100, he wants 200. And the Orlas Halev expresses itself in taiva, in lust, in a craving for the passions and the desires of man, of base man. So the Orlas Halev really represents all of that which is within man that drags man down. All the barriers and the impediments that prevent us and challenging us and challenge us from fulfilling the will of God. The will of God is one thing, and it's expressed in the Taryag Mitzvos, but our will, our individual will, is an entirely different entity. Because our will is so much attacked by these barriers which are called Orlas Halev. And now the Ramban tells us something glorious, something amazing about Yemos HaMashiach. When Hashem decides that Klal Yisrael have done tshuva, a complete tshuva, a total tshuva, a v'shav ad Hashem Elokecha, at that point in time, Hashem will implement Milas Arlas Halev. He will remove the Arla from the lave. And the Ramban goes on to tell us that at that point, in the glorious days of Mashiach, there will be no Yetzer Hara. There will be no Chemda. There will be no Taiva. There will be no desire on the part of man to violate and undermine the will of God. Our will, Ritzoni, Lasos Ritzonecha. Our will will be identical with the will of God because we have no Yetzer. And the Ramban compares that level of man to the level of Adam HaRishon, before the Chet. In other words, since creation, there was a period of time, a very short period of time indeed, in which man lived at that level without Orlas Halev. And the Ramban in his commentary in Parshas Bereishis, when he speaks about the Chet of Adam HaRishon, of eating from the Eitz Hadas, he speaks about the level, the idyllic level of Adam HaRishon before the Chet, as he is created by God. Man was pure. Man had no internal Yetzer Hara. The challenge was totally external. The Ramban says something, it's hard for me to say it over, but he describes the challenge that Adam HaRishon faced to the challenge that one might face if there was a fire and he was challenged lest he put his tongue in the fire. It's hard for me to express this, but this is Ramban's words. Who could even imagine that such a thing would happen? No one would be tempted to put his tongue into a fire. Totally repulsive. And that's the natural state of man as he was created by the Almighty without Orlas Halev. Why then did man sin and fall? Why did he find the Nachash HaKadmoni so tempting in his convincing argument? And that, the Ramban says, has to do with man's desire for autonomy. Man wants to create his own decision-making process, his own set of rules and laws. He doesn't want to accept the laws of the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what the Nachash tells him, that if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, then V'yisam Kelokim, Yodei Tov V'ra, you'll be like God-like, and you'll be able to determine for yourselves what is good and what is evil. But be that as it may, that's for a shir in Parshas Bereishis. For us tonight, What we have to understand is that there was a very short window of time in which man was on the level of the absence of Arlas HaLev, of the natural tendency and desire to fulfill God's will. And that's what's going to happen once again after HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mal Es Arlas HaLev. Hashem, as described here in Pasuk Vav, Umal Hashem Elokech Es Levavcha, God will remove from the lave of man the Arlas HaLev, which means that at the end of days, at the time Mashiach, we will have no temptation to evil. Our will be equal to the will of God. There will be no discrepancy, no challenge, no chemda, no taiva, no yetzahara. We pure in a natural way. We want to fill the will of God, fulfill His mitzvos, and there's nothing else that tempts us and that'll bring us down. And at this point, I want to ask two questions. Question number one, if man is not beset by the challenges that bring him down, the barriers of the Yetzirah, if there'll be a period of time in which man will exist without Arlas HaLev, because God will remove the Arlas HaLev, then what's the point? Where's the challenge? Where's the Bechira? Where is the freedom of choice? Where's the Nisayon, the challenge that faces man? It seems almost that man becomes like a robot and he fulfills the will of God because that's natural. He doesn't know of another will. He's not tempted by any other will. He doesn't have Arlas HaLev. But my more profound question, I think, is the following. Is it possible, is it conceivable that the mitzvah of tshuva would continue to exist even after Umal Hashem Es Levavcha? Even after the Mashiach comes and we achieve the Achris HaYomim, if there's no chet, then by definition there could be no, everybody? Tshuva. You can't have tshuva without a chet. And now you're telling me that after Umal Hashem Es Levavcha, there will be no Yetzara. Our will is purely the will of God. That's all we want to do is fulfill His will with a capital H. And therefore there's no chet, there's no Yetzara. So now let's look at again what I call Roman numeral number 2, the second section of this parash of tshuva nitzavim. Once again, the Torah repeats that we'll do tshuva. And the question is, how can we do tshuva after Umal Hashem Es Levavcha? And I'm tempted to believe that there are two definitions of tshuva. There are two elements of tshuva. And the tshuva, in essence, falls under two categories. The first category is tshuva al chet, and the second category is some sort of tshuva, which is undefined at this point, of tshuva even without chet, even in the absence of chet. Even after Umal Hashem Es Levavcha, when we're not beset by the Yetzer Hara, because the Arlas HaLev has been removed, apparently there's still tshuva, and the Torah adds the second round to teach us and to establish that there will be tshuva even after Yemos HaMashiach, even after the Arlas HaLev has been removed. So let's summarize two questions and then we'll ask a third question. Question number one, we asked why the redundancy in which the Torah defines in a set of psukim from Aleph to Hey, tshuva, and then seems to repeat tshuva second time in psukim ches, tes, and yud. Question number two, how could there be tshuva after Umal Hashem Es Levavcha? According to the Ramban, after the Mashiach comes, we will not be set by the Yetzahara, we have no chet, and what is tshuva after Yemos HaMashiach, after Milas Salih? I want to raise a third question, because I think that although we love the Ramban is so challenging, but there's a stira, l'chora, there's a contradiction in the Ramban. The Ramban writes in his introduction to Sefer Dvarim, which is called by Chazal Mishneh Torah. What is the essence of Sefer Dvarim? And the Ramban says that Sefer Dvarim has a twofold purpose. Purpose number one is to clarify, to shed a light on those mitzvos that appear in the earlier Chumashim, but are still unclear. They're somewhat ambiguous. And Sefer Dvarim will clarify the nuances of those mitzvos. Number two, Sefer Dvarim says the Rabban will introduce brand new mitzvos that were not given in any of the earlier Chumashim. Says the Ramban in Parshas Ki Tovo, right before Parshas Nitzavim, in his comment on the mitzvah of Vidui Masros, that the entire cycle of mitzvos comes to a halt, comes to an end, to a completion, with the mitzvah of Vidui Masros. Meaning, the mitzvah of Vidui Masros closes Sefer Dvarim, as far as mitzvahs are concerned. The very last mitzvah, which is given in the book of Dvarim, in Mishneh Torah, is given in Parshas Ki Tovo. Did I say Ki Tisa? I meant to say Ki Tovo, if I did. Ki Tovo. Now, wait a second. After Ki Tovo comes what Parsha? Nitzavim. Well, I'll have you know that the Ramban in his commentary on the second pasuk in Parshas Ki Tovo that we read earlier, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata v'kolo, what does the Ramban say? Who remembers? Very famous Ramban. That this is a mitzvah saseh. The Ramban takes this pasuk. He disagrees with all the other commentaries who say it's all a promise, a divine promise that the Almighty will bring back the people to tshuva. Says Rabbi, no, this is a mandate. This is a command. This is a mitzvah saseh. And he counts it in his calculation of taryah. But wait a second. The Ramban himself has just established that Parshas Ki Tovo closes the circle and is the completion of all the mitzvahs, whether new mitzvahs or whether interpreting and shedding a light on old mitzvahs. How could it be then that the Ramban defines V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha here in Parshas Nitzavim as a mitzvah of tshuva? We just finished the entire book of mitzvos. We have no more mitzvahs. How can the Ramban now turn around and present another mitzvah, presumably number 613, after Ki Tovo, when Sefer Dvarim, according to Ramban, has come to its termination in Parshas Ki Tovo? So those are the questions that we want to raise, and at this point I want to go on to study the Rambam. And B'li Neder, we hope that we'll come back to these questions. The Rambam dedicates almost an entire chapter, the seventh chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, to what the Rambam calls Malas HaTshuva, the greatness of tshuva. Let's listen to some of the poetry of the Rambam as he describes the high, lofty, sublime experience of tshuva. Gedola tshuva, how great is tshuva? Shemekareves es ha'odom l'shchina. It brings a bal tshuva close to the divine being. Shenemar Shuva Yisrael, the pasuk that we read in Haftorah just a day ago. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Ad Hashem Elokecha. And now the Rambam really describes this in great detail. The Rambam describes, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Imtachzor B'tshuva, be tidbak, you will achieve dveikus in the Shechina. Says the Rambam, Hatshuva mekareves es harachokim. You know, we talk very often about kiruv rachokim. Well, the originator of that phrase of kiruv rachokim is the Rambam right here in the seventh chapter of Tshuva. And I emphasize the word kiruv because according to the Rambam, a chote, a sinner, is rachok. He's far away from the Shechina. And through the process of tshuva, he comes close to the Shechina. Ubo tidbak, and he's dovek in the Shechina. He clings to the Shechina. And the Rambam describes it, emesh. Who can tell me what the word emesh is in English? Anybody? I don't hear you. Emesh doesn't mean yesterday.
The day before you.
It means last night. It means just hours ago. It means right before Shkia, before dusk, on this very day, Emesh. Listen to the transition that takes place, according to the Rambam through Tshuva, between Emesh and Hayom. 24 hours have not even passed. Emesh, before he does Tshuva, look at this description of the sinner in the Rambam. Hoy is a sonui bifnei hamakom. He's hated in front of God. Meshukats. He's repulsive. Toeva, an abomination. I don't think the Rambam is describing a chote who may have accidentally cut some toilet paper on Shabbos. You know what I'm saying? He's talking about the real McCoy sinner, who's meshukats metuav, who is repulsed, and he's toeva. He probably violated at least one of the three cardinal sins. That's just my guess. But this is the Rambam's description. And he adds another adjective, meruchak. He is so far away from Hashem. Hayom. Just hours later, he did tshuva. V'ahuv, he's beloved. V'nechmad, and cherished. Yedid, he's a good friend of the Almighty, Vikarov, and he's once again close to the Shekhinah. This is the greatness and the power of taking someone who's Rachok and immediately through Tshuva becoming Karov to Hashem. What a power! What an amazing power inherent in Tshuva. The Rambam goes on to say, Kama Ma'ula Malas HaTshuva Emesh Hayezem Muvda. He was separated from Hashem. Shenemar avonoseichem, pasuk in Yeshaya, hayu mavdilim beinechem uvein elokeichem. A chet, an avon, separates man from God. It pushes him away from God. It creates a distance, as it were, between man and the Almighty. Tzoek v'eino nene. He cries out in a situation of crisis to the Almighty, and God does not hearken. And again, quoting Psukim, Osem mitzvos, v'tarfen oso b'fanav. God rejects his mitzvos. Shenemar mibikesh zos v'yedchem ermos chatzeroi. Vayom, again, emesh tayom, hu mudvak b'shchina, shenemar v'atem advekim Hashem elkechem, tzoek v'nena miyad, he cries out to Hashem, and he's immediately, God responds, Shenemar v'hoye terem yikrov aniyene, Ose mitzvos u'mekablin oson b'nachas v'simcha, Shenemar ki kvar rotza lokim es ma'asecha. So this is the Rambam's description of the process of tshuva, the immediacy going from emesh as a chote who's rachok, Hayom, after doing tshuva, he's karov. He's davek b'shechina, he's karov to the Shechina. And with all these descriptions of tshuva, I'm tempted to think that during these days of tshuva, and I think we have already passed the midpoint, so we better get a little serious here. There aren't that many days left to Yom HaKippurim. And I have a tendency of thinking, it's just my own personal feeling, that for most of us, what is unique about Aseres Yimei Tshuva? How do we feel and intuit and sense emotionally this change? And I think it all boils down to our own self-evaluation. What we call cheshbon ha-nefesh. The whole year round, when a person wants to evaluate themselves, When they look in a mirror and they ask, who am I? Where am I holding spiritually? Where am I on this trend, this ladder to get higher and higher to Hashem? Who am I and what am I? We have a tendency of looking to the right, of looking to the left, of seeing how our close relatives, our close friends, our spouse looks at us. We view our evaluation of ourselves through the eyes of others. Comes a seres yimei tshuva. When Hashem is kiru b'yoso karov, he's close to us. And our system, our paradigm of comparison, of evaluation changes. A paradigm shift that's so radical and so fundamental. For this period of time, in a very serious mood, we're no longer concerned with how others evaluate us. How do they see us? Do they approve? What's our rating amongst others? But rather, we're only interested in the rating and the evaluation of one being. Which being is that? The Almighty Hashem Yisbarach. It's a total shift in our focus. And we ask ourselves perhaps the question, how does God really evaluate us? How does He look at us? You know the famous statement on His deathbed of the Rebbe Zusha. Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? In which the Rebbe explains, God will not have a claim against me because I didn't live up to the standards and the genius of a Rambam or a Vilna Gaon. I didn't live up to the piety of a Baal Shem Tov or a Chafetz Chaim. God will ask me, Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? This is, I believe, the question that we should be asking ourselves during this very heavy, serious period of time of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, when we try to discover and analyze through Chesed and Nefesh what God thinks of us. Where are we today? What is His, capital H, evaluation of us? And I want to share with you an insight of the Chafetz Chaim Zichrono Livracha, which I think gives us a little bit more of a grasp on the Zusha, why weren't you Zusha question that we were asked, that we're all asking ourselves. You know that there's a psalm in Tehillim that we repeat over and over again in these days, starting with Rosh Hashanah and ending on Yom Kippur, even opening the Aron, number 91, in which David HaMelech, after speaking about Lashem Ha'aretz Meloa, Hu al yamim yisodim al lechoros yonena, after he talks about creation, he goes on to ask the question, Mi yale bahar Hashem, umi yakum bimkom kodsho. Who can climb the mountain of Hashem and maintain that close relationship with Hashem, bimkom kodsho, in the holy place of the Almighty? And David HaMelech offers an answer that's made up of three different parts. His first answer is Niki Kapayim. Nikion Kapayim refers to the area of Bein Adam L'Chavero. Is a person clean? Is he honest? Is he dedicated to what we call Masa Umatan Be'emuna? People rely on him and he's trustworthy. And then David HaMelech gives another answer. Bar Levav. Bar Levav, I believe, is courage. A person to climb up to the Har Hashem has to be a person of courage. He has to be willing to take a stand. He has to be willing to be dedicated to an issue in which he believes this is the divine will, and I will fight against upstream battle against all those who dissent. Recently, my wife and I moved to Efrat just a month ago. And you know, when we moved to Efrat, first of all, I want to tell you, my wife thought I was nuts. She didn't understand. There was some very lucrative office that I had elsewhere. I'm not going to go into detail at this point. If you want to discuss them, I'll tell you about them later. But why Efrat? And I had a certain vision of perhaps what I can contribute to Efrat. Some will know, Yechiel will testify, that I lived in Har Nof for some 3.5 decades, almost 40 years. And people ask me, how many children and grandchildren do you have in Efrat? And the answer is zippo. So what are you doing in Efrat? And in my vision about what we could possibly contribute to Efrat and its surrounding area, I had certain ideas, but one idea I didn't even dream of. On two occasions in the last month, parents came over to me and they asked me, would you be willing to sit with our children, our boys in this case, who are 12, almost 13, they're about to become bar mitzvah, and give them a little personal attention and some guidance as to what the significance of becoming a bar mitzvah is. So the first group was 3 boys, and then another group came in of another 3 boys. And here's a person who's much, much older than these boys, and yet I tried the best of my ability to give them a certain inspiration before their bar mitzvah. And here's the question that I asked them. We have in halacha 2 concepts, a katan and a gadol. And we always identify and define these 2 concepts by age, what's called shanim and simanim. A boy reaches the age of 13, becomes a gadol, he's no longer a katan. A girl reaches the age of 12. And I said to the boys, there's something much more fundamental and much more profound in the transition between a katan and a gadol. And I derive this from Shmuel HaNavi when he comes to castigate Shaul and unfortunately notify Shaul that the malchus, the kingship, has been ripped away from him and given to David HaMelech. Of course, Shmuel doesn't reveal that part of it. And Shmuel says the following words to Shaul. Im katan ata beinecha. Underline the word katan. Rashi pe Yisrael ata. Shaul, you were given a mandate to destroy Amalek. But you were influenced by the people who had compassion on the women, on the children, on the animals of Amalek. You did not fulfill the mandate of Hashem. You are a katan. You are appointed to be the king of Israel, to be a gadol. And when a gadol kowtows and subjugates himself to the will of the people, he's a katan and not a gadol. A gadol means you take the lead, you grab onto the reins, and you control the people, and not the other way around. And to become a gadol for all of us means to be malchustic, to be leaders, to be courageous. And so David HaMelech's answer to the question, Mi'ala Bar Hashem, is Bar Levav, a courageous person. But the Chafetz Chaim wants to focus our attention on the third element in the equation. Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi. And the question is, how do we translate this phrase? A person reaches the level of Yaleh Bahar Hashem if he doesn't waste away his nefesh. He has a nefesh, he has a soul. He's Zusha. And he has a unique individual soul that was granted many, many gifts and many, many talents and qualities. But the Chafetz Chaim says that that's not an accurate translation. The pasuk doesn't say Asher lo nasa lashav nafsho, that he hasn't wasted away his nefesh, but rather Asher lo nasa lashav nafshi, my nefesh. What does that mean? What does it mean to say that he hasn't wasted my nefesh with a capital M? The nefesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a part of Chelek Eloka Mimal. And the Chafetz Chaim in his style always gives a mashal. He says, imagine the case of 2 friends. We'll call him Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, unfortunately, is very poor. He's destitute. Shimon became very wealthy. Reuven knocks on Shimon's door, begging for a loan. And Shimon understands that Reuven has an opportunity to take this money and invest it and put himself back on his 2 feet financially. And Shimon says, how much money do you need? And Reuven asked for an enormous sum of 1,000 rubles at that time. Shimon thinks and he says the following. I'll give you this loan on one condition, that you return the loan in 1 year's time. And Shimon goes into his, how do you say it in English? Kasefet? I'm ready here to his safe. And he counts out gold coins to the tune of 1,000 rubles. Puts each bag of gold coin is tied up. And he hands over these bags to his poor friend Reuven. A year later to the date, Reuven comes to return the loan as per the condition. But there's only one strange phenomenon. He returns to his friend, his rich friend Shimon, the exact same bags of the exact same gold coins that he had taken a year earlier. And of course, Shimon is up in arms. Why did I tie up those funds? I could have used them in my business. I gave them to you to invest. And what did you do with them? You wasted them away. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Nimshal, Nafshi, God gives you tremendous gifts. Every morning we wake up and we recite a whole list of enumerated appreciation for the gifts that God has given us. The ability to open our eyes and see. The ability to walk on the floor. The ability to breathe. These are all great gifts that God has invested in us. This is the nefesh of Hashem. And if after 70 or 80 or 90 years we return the nefesh to Hashem in the same exact state that we got it in 70 or 80 or 90 years earlier, then it's Asher Nasa Lashav Nafshi. You have wasted away my nefesh. You have wasted away all the great talents that I invested in you. And these, I believe, are the thoughts that should project us through these days of tshuva to Yom HaKippurim, v'ad v'ad b'chlal, and we should all be thinking and analyzing and contemplating, Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? Are we using all these gifts that God gave us? Are we taking that great nefesh that God vested in us and uplifting them? Or are we wasting them away? In what state will we return that nefesh? Liyachem Be'ev Yesrim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we said earlier, the Rambam tells us that tshuva is so great that it projects us closer and closer to the Shekhinah. The Richuk will now be replaced by Kiruv. Ad HaShekhinah, Dveikus in Hashem. This is the power of tshuva. And now I want to turn back to the questions that we asked at the beginning of the Shir in Parshas Nitzavim. I don't know if you ever heard the name Rav Moshe Tirani. There was a very illustrious line of scholars in Italy called the Tirani Mishpacha. One after the other, they were greats. And Rav Moshe Tirani is known in the yeshiva world as the Mavit. He lived some 4.5 centuries ago. And he authored a commentary on the Rambam called the Kiryas Sefer. He's much more famous for his commentary on Tefillah called the Beis Elokim. And he writes the following. Chakarnu al geder hatshuva umitzanuha. Let me stop in the middle of the sentence. The Mabit writes in the Beis Elokim that he investigated the definition of tshuva. And he came up with a definition. Now before I read to you his definition, which I think is revolutionary, I don't get it. Chakarnu begeder atshuva? I need a mabit to analyze the essence and define what tshuva is all about? I know what tshuva is all about. The Rambam writes Hilchos Tshuva, 10 chapters, to tell me what tshuva is all about. Tshuva means desisting from sin, which is called azivas hachet. Tshuva means charata, which means that I regret what I did. Tshuva means vidui, and I recite a confession. Tshuva means Kabbalah la'asid, and I have a resolution for the future. Why is the Mabit asking a question, Chakarnu, begeder at Tshuva? It's obvious what Tshuva is all about. But the Malbim is bothered. I'm sorry, the Mabit is bothered by the following. The Rambam opens up Hilchas Tshuva with a definition of what Tshuva is all about. And in his definition, the Rambam has two elements. Mitzvah saseh, sheyoshev hachote micheto lifnei hakel. The Rambam adds two words. Person should do tshuva lifnei hakel, which literally means in the presence of God. Now mind you, the Rambam lived in Muslim countries. He didn't live in Christian countries. You know, had the Rambam been challenged by the Christians, I would understand why he adds lifnei hakel, because in Christianity there's a different way of confessing your sins, you know what I mean? And then he writes v'yisvada, and it's an integral part of the mitzvah of tshuva that he recite v'idui confession. And the Rambam goes on within the pnim, what we call of the Rambam, to define and emphasize v'idui as critical to tshuva. But yet the Rambam has this v'yoshev lifnei hakel. So what is it? Is it vidui? Is it all the different parts of tshuva that culminate in vidui? Because the Rambam writes that after this aziva sachet and charot and kabbalah, all these elements should be recited and verbalized orally in vidui. Or is tshuva loshev lifnei hakel? And here the Mabit comes up with a radical definition of tshuva. He says the following. Tshuva is kravel Hashem. Coming close to Hashem after the richuk of chet. Chet, as we saw in the Rambam, is mavdil. It separates. It pushes us far away from Hashem. We become all those descriptions. I don't want to go over them. Of the chote. What is then tshuva? Tshuva is not just all the elements of tshuva, all the stages in the process. Tshuva is kravel Hashem, is coming close to Hashem. V'karvonas hashov b'tshuva, what is the intention of one who does tshuva? L'skarev el boro shenisrachik mimenu, to come closer to Hashem. He says that tshuva is not li natzel min ha'onish al chet misuyam. The purpose and the ultimate goal of tshuva is not just to protect yourself from punishment on a particular sin. Most people mistakenly think, says the Mabit, that what is tshuva? Tshuva means I sinned, I recite vidui and I desist from that sin with a resolution on the future, now I'm protected from punishment. So I basically achieved an atonement for that particular sin. No. That's not what tshuva is all about. Tshuva is about coming close to Hashem. Ve'lachein tshuva yisoveves kol ha-mitzvahs. In other words, the background and the motivation perhaps to do tshuva is one particular sin. But that's not what tshuva is all about. Tshuva is not focused exclusively on that sin. That sin becomes what the Israelis call a keresh kvitza, springboard to do tshuva. What's tshuva? Tshuva is hiskaras Hashem, is to come closer to Hashem. And therefore, although he may have violated one particular sin, his tshuva is a tshuva that combines and integrates kol mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs are included. And that's what the Torah means by v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Whatever sin it was, your achiv, your mitzvah, your ultimate goal and your agenda, what we call in football the goal line, is to do tshuva in general, not just on this avera. Vidui might be meaningful for this particular avera, but the ultimate goal of tshuva is lashuv lifnei hakel, is to come closer to Hashem. And in the light of this breakthrough understanding of tshuva, I think we can answer the question that we raised earlier. The Ramban says that the last mitzvah in the book of Devarim is in Parshas Ki Tovo, the mitzvah Vidui Masros. And then we fast forward just a few psukim to Nitzavim, and the Ramban gives us the mitzvah of tshuva. So it's not true that the entire circle of mitzvahs ended in Parshas Ki Tovo. But the answer is yes. All the mitzvahs concluded. But now you have a general mitzvah. A mitzvah that encompasses all the Taryav mitzvahs, the 612. And that's the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva is not a specific mitzvah. Tshuva encompasses, now that God has given us in Parshas Ki Tovo, the entire gamut of Taryav, now comes the last mitzvah, which incorporates all of the 612. As the Mabit calls it, a mitzvah klolis of Iskarvus Lashem. And perhaps in that light, we can understand the two parts of Parsha, of the Parsha of Tshuva Nitzavim. The first half of the Parsha of Tshuva, V'shavta Hashem Elokecha, is telling us that although throughout the bitter gullus, Jews did tshuva, but it was never a complete tshuva. It was a tshuva of vidui. It was a tshuva on specific sins. But we never got to the point in which we could make a commitment in all genuine honesty to all the mitzvahs of Hashem. And the Torah is telling us that the gullus, the exile, will come to a conclusion. And the Mashiach will be brought when we get to the level of total tshuva, of the tshuva klolis, of iskarvus Lashem, of ishavta ad Hashem Elokecha. When we come to the kiruv close to the kisei hakavod, to the shechina, to dveikus and Hashem, of the shamata b'kol, kol mitzvus Hashem. Everything is included in that tshuva. And when we can do a tshuva on all the mitzvahs of Hashem, when Klal Yisrael somehow, we don't know exactly how, will be awakened to do this total, all-encompassing tshuva of Iskarvus Lashem, getting close to Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvuscha, and the Yemos HaMashiach will come about. And what's the greatness of Yemos HaMashiach? Says the Ramban, U'mol Hashem es levavcha, God will remove the Aras HaLev. If all of Klal Yisrael will do a totality of tshuva, the complete, perfect, ideal tshuva, which is on the klal of all of its Hashem, of Iskarvus Hashem, Mashiach will come, and now Hashem steps into the arena, and He will remove the Aras HaLev. We enter into the idyllic period of Mashiach without any impediments, any Yetzer Hara, any chemda, and any taiva. And now the Torah tells us, in Psukim Ches, Tes, and Yud, what we call Roman numeral number 2, that even after Mashiach comes, and even after Umal Hashem is Levavcha, there will be no temptation to sin, there still will be tshuva, but it will be a different type of tshuva. It will be inherently, fundamentally, and existentially a different tshuva. It'll be the tshuva of Iskarvus Hashem. When man can come closer and closer and closer, there are infinite numbers and layers that separate us from Hashem. But we're always dealing with the impediments and the challenges to overcome those forces that try to bring us down and drag us to the lower levels, the Olas HaLev. But in the idyllic state of Yevos HaMashiach, there will be no Arlas HaLev. We'll be free of all the shackles, of all the barriers, of all the taivos and the chemdos that prevent us. All we have is one kind of tshuva, and that's the tshuva of Iskarvus Lashem. And we will climb this ladder and get higher and higher and higher. closer and closer to Hashem. Hashem is Ein Sof, He's infinite. But we can get closer and closer. Yehi Ratzon may be His will. That during these days of tshuva, we dedicate ourselves to the goal, as the Mabit says, of getting closer and closer to Hashem. Of taking those talents that we appreciate so much that God has vested in us, the Zusha, and become Zusha. Rededicating ourselves to overcome all the impediments and do a tshuva gemura, total tshuva, on the cloliest of mitzvahs, that our ratzon should be the same as the ratzon of Hashem. And in so doing, we're bringing ourselves and our families and our children closer and closer to the Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, to the ultimate fulfillment of Achris Hayomim Liyosid Lavo Yimos HaMashiach. We'll be free of the fetters and the impediments, and we'll be able to concentrate on one and only one thing. Our Ratzon will be that of the Ratzon of Hashem. Kein Yiratzon.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rabbi Berzon. I really appreciate it. Thank you.